Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Vav. We are at the Mishnah about 10 lines from the top of daf Kuf Mem Vav Amid Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Harav David ben Shima, Avram ben Gittel, Shoshana bas Esther Bela, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shayosha ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Tzvi ben Hinda, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Elena bas Chana, Chaim ben Yama Mordechai ben Ida, Pnina bas Esther, Chizki Yishloim Ezizkin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi Baruch ben Chana Henela, Rachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Harav Chaim Doiv ben Krindel, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Adasa, Aharon ben Chaya Mira, Rechel Chana Malka bas Tova, Yaakov Hillel ben Chaya Sara, Necha Rivka bas Chaya Elka. That's also being learned to Ilui Nishmas Baruch Tzvi Ben Ruvain Nasen. So the topic of today's daf is going to be, for the most part, opening up containers. So this is actually a very contemporary halachic shaila as it relates to opening up soda cans, soda bottles, bags, boxes, etc., etc. All that contemporary halacha flows primarily from one daf gemara. It's the daf we're about to learn, Shabbos, daf kuf mem vav. Zokta mishnah, shoivir adam esachav is, a person is allowed to break a barrel, lechol heimena groigris, to take dried figs out of the barrel. Ubelvad, however, he has to be careful, shelo yischavein lasos keli, to make sure that he doesn't make a very proper opening to the barrel. So someone has a barrel. Inside the barrel, there are groigris. He needs to somehow get inside the barrel to take out his groigris. It's Shabbos. What is he supposed to do? So if there was a top to this container that you could easily remove, so of course that's what you would do. But we're discussing where it's sealed. And because it's sealed, so you're going to have to break something. You're going to have to create a hole of some sort in order to be able to pull the groigris out. So the Mishnah says something you can do and something you cannot do. If you want to destroy the chavis, no worries. That's something you're allowed to do. If, however, you want to be mechaving to make a proper Pesach, a proper opening to this chavis, for you to be able to pull the groigris out, that's something that you would not be allowed to do. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. Additionally, if there's a cover on top of the chavis, so you could remove the cover, of course, but if you want to make a hole in the chavis, that's not okay. Everyone, however, agrees that if you want to make a hole on the side of the megufa, that's something that's not okay. We'll see a lot more about this in the Gemara. Vimhois in the Kuva. What happens if somebody has a barrel in the reverse and he wants to plug a hole? So you're not creating a hole in the barrel. To the contrary, you have a barrel which has a hole and you want to plug that hole. Says the Mishnah, you're not allowed to plug it with wax. As we'll see in the Gemara, there are ways to plug it, but wax is not okay. Because if you're going to plug the hole with wax, there's a good chance that you're going to smoothen the wax. That involves the malacha of memachik, says Rashi. They used to smooth the hides of the animals, which is one of the lamatas malachas. If you would do that to wax, that's a big problem. And as a result, Chazal said you should never plug a hole with wax lest you come to violate the malacha of memachik. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Maisa, there was a story. So there's many mishnayos and braises where Rabbi Yehuda proved the halachic point from a Maisa. This is another example. There was a story in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ba'arov, Rashi says, Shem Medina, Va'amar, someone apparently approached Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, said he had a barrel, there was a hole, he plugged the hole with wax, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was very disturbed about what he heard. He said, Choshashani lo michatas, I'm afraid, I'm a little bit worried that it could be this person is chayef to bring a carbon chatas. Either way, the first halach in the Mishnah was, Shoiver adam es achovis, lechol heimena groigers. It's okay for a person to destroy a chavis, to pull a groigris outside of the chavis. Rashi said that the reason it's okay is the ein b'mekalkel shum iser Shabbos. Because being that when this person destroys the chavis, he's destroying it, he's being mekalkel the chavis. So being that the person's being mekalkel the chavis, so it's for that reason you have nothing to worry about. In other words, Rashi's bavarning that why is it okay for a person to destroy a chavis? At first glance, there would seem to be some sort of malacha taking place here. And if there's a malacha taking place, so why is it okay? The yesh loimar answers Rashi, it's true there's a malacha, but what you're doing is you're being mekalkel. And being that what you're doing is is you're being makalkel. So it's for that reason, there's not going to be an issue. And all the Rishonim, ke'ish echad b'lev echad, are matmiya on Rashi. Meaning, it sounds like from Rashi that destroying a chavis in and of itself would constitute one of the 39 malachas. Norvas, you're being makalkel. And being that you're being makalkel, it's okay to do it. Now, what's the makar that makalkel on Shabbos is treated differently? It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah early in the Masechta, on Daf Kufei on the Beis. The Mishnah says, kola makalkelin peturin. That anytime a person does a malach on Shabbos and he's makalkel, the halach is peturin. It's going to be pater. Abba Fregin, the Rishonim, we know the rule. That every time it says in Hilchas Shabbos the word pater, what does that mean? Pater on the deraisa level, avol aser midrabanan. That means for a person to go proactively and to do a malacha on Shabbos under the guise that what he's doing is makalkel, although it's true he won't violate an issa deraisa, but at the same time it's pater, which means it's pater avol aser. So if that's the case, at the end of the day, this is something that's aser midrabanan. So how could Rashi say, why? Because you're a makalkel. It's very nice you're a makalkel. But at the end of the day, even a makalkel is only pater. But pater so what happened to the fact that you're over in this at the Rabbanon? There's several Mahalchim in the Rishonim, and there's a tremendous shmooze in the Achronim to discuss this. If we have time, maybe we'll get to this at the end of the daf. But Omer Rabbi Shaya said, Lo Yishanu, this halacha of the Mishnah that says that a person's allowed to destroy a chavis, to pull groigers out, even on Shabbos. This was only said derusos. If the figs, these groigers that were inside the barrel, were together as a cake. Avol mefurades, but if a person has individual groigros, then the halacha is, it wouldn't be okay. So the Gemara is going to explain, but really it's kedai to speak out the hesber that the Gemara is about to give. Rashi does it right here. And that is because, as we'll see, Rabbi Shaya learned that the Tana of the Mishnah is Rabbi Nechemya. Who's Rabbi Nechemya? Of Muktzah fame. So throughout Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara talks about two primary shittos amongst the Tanaim as it relates to Muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is this slave Muktzah, and Rabbi Shimon is less slave Muktzah. But the truth is, if you know the rest of the story, there's a third shita. The shita is from Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya was the most machmer. He was even more machmer than Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Shimon is less slave Muktzah. Of course, he holds a Muktzah, but he's very makel in Muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda is machmer, he's this slave Muktzah. Rabbi Nechemya is even more machmer than that. One of the manifestations of Rav Nechemya's chumrois, yeseirois, that he stated in the laws of Muktz is, that Rav Nechemya holds that if a person has a kelish ha-malach do-laheter, you're allowed to carry it, but only for the tashmish ha-meyuchaboy. So if you have a spoon, you're allowed to carry the spoon if you're going to use the spoon to eat cereal or milk. But if you're going to use the spoon for something that people don't usually use spoons for, even though a spoon is a kelish ha-malach do-laheter, Rav Nechemya's sheet is that it's not going to be okay. Rabbi Shaya was bothered with a problem then. Said Rabbi Shaya, assuming the Mishnah is Rav Nechemya, which the Gemara will say Rabbi Shaya assumed. So if the Mishnah is Rav Nechemya, why is it okay for a person to destroy a chavis to take out the groigers? How are you going to destroy the chavis? With a sakin. A sakin wasn't usually used to destroy a chavis. So if that's the case, what happened to the muktzah problem? Forget about the fact that you're destroying a keli. Forget about the fact that you're a makalkel. Asim midrabanan, not asim midrabanan. What happened to muktzah? Assuming the Mishnah is Rav Nechemya, then shouldn't there be a muktzah problem? So Rabbi Shaya said, no, the Mishnah could work even according to Rav Nechemya, because maybe the Mishnah is talking about where these groigers were a cake. There was a huge cake of groigers. How are you going to eat this groigers cake? You're going to have to cut a piece. You're going to cut a piece using a knife. Oh, you anyways have to carry the knife. So once you have to carry the knife to cut the cake, so now already I'm allowed to use the knife to destroy the chavis. Because that's also halacha muktzah, that once I'm allowed to be metaltal something for a dover amuter, I can continue to be metaltal it, even for something that maybe theoretically, hypothetically, would have been a dover aser. So that's the hesber in this one simple line that Rabbi Shaya said. Om Rabbi Shaya, loishanu, talacha, the Mishnah that says you're allowed to take a sakin to destroy the chavis, to take out the groigers. That's only true drusos. If these groigros were together, it was a cake, meaning you have to use the sakin anyways to cut up the figs. You have to use it to cut the figs, so there's no muktzah problem. I'm allowed to use it to cut the chavis as well. But if the groigros were separate, I don't need the knife to cut the figs. If I don't need the knife to cut the figs, so now why am I allowed to be metaltal the sakin? Just to open the chavis? That's not the tashmish ha-meyuchadloy. That's not going to be okay. So it's for that reason, enochinami, said Rabbi Shaya, we have to make this a kimt in the Mishnah. So that's so pashit that you're not allowed to carry a knife simply because of muktzah, to open up a chavis, unless you have groigrois that are together in a cake, unless you anyways have to use the sakin to cut the groigrois. Maisvei, I'll ask you a kasha from a brayse, a very similar halacha to our mishnah, but with a very important nuance. Maybe adam is a chavis shal yayin, a person's allowed to bring a chavis shal yayin, umatis roisha besayef, dramatic, take a sword and behead this chavis, umanicha lefnei archa b'shabes, and serve it to your archan on Shabbos, ve'enei chayshish, no worries. Essentially, Rav Shimon Gamliel said the same halacha in the Mishnah. A person is allowed to destroy a chavis. However, there's one difference. Our Mishnah is talking about where there were groigrois inside the chavis. Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking about where there was wine inside the chavis. What's the kasha? You don't need a knife to cut the wine. You may need the knife to cut the groigrois, assuming the groigrois is in a big cake. But for the wine, you certainly don't need it. And still, you see, it's okay to carry the knife. So you see, now like Rabbi Shai is a kimter. Rabbi Shai said the only time the halacha of the Mishnah is true is if you need the knife to cut the figs. Then, derech agav, you're being metaltal it anyways. So you can cut up the chavis. Of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's case, that's certainly not the case, because he's talking about where it was wine. You don't ever need the knife to cut the wine. So you see, clearly not like Rabbi Shaya. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Shaya is going to tell you, he Rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel held like the Rabbanon. However, Masisi Rabbi Nechemya, the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Nechemya, meaning the whole Rabbi Shaya is predicated on Shitas Rabbi Nechemya. Because Rabbi Nechemya holds in clean nittle, el vodov, letashma shama yuchadloi. So that's why you can't carry the sakin to open up the chavis. You have to make an akimta, therefore, that we're talking about where you needed to cut the cake of figs, and then derech agav, you're carrying it anyways, you'll be able to open the chavis. Shem Gamliel doesn't hold the krem nechemi. If you don't hold the krem nechemi, so there's no muksa problem. A sakin, a saif is not muksa. As a result, it's not going to be an issue. Oh, but frank the Gemara, the obvious question. Why did Rabbi Ishaya decide? What forced Rabbi Ishaya to make an akimta in our Mishnah that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Nechemya? And as a result, he had a muktza problem in our Mishnah, so he had to make a second akimta, ubedrusois, that it's talking about a fig cake. Look, ma b'mefurades. Let him say that the Mishnah is talking about all groigrois, all figs, v'rabbanan, and even according to the Rabbanan. Why would you make the Mishnah Rabbi Nechemya? Right, throughout the Mesechta is the Mishnah Rabbi Shimon, is the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda, is the price of Rabbi Shimon, is the price of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemya is more of a Cotton in the world of Mukta. Since when do we have a Mishnah that's Rabbi Nechemya? What forced Rabbi Shaya to learn that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Nechemya? Oh, my Rabbi said, Masisa Gashi say, he actually had a dik in the Mishnah. There was something that bothered him in the Mishnah. My ear, the Tani Groigris. Because Rabbi Nechemya was bothered. Why did Mishnah say Groigris? Shaver Adam Esachavis, Lechel Heimeno Groigris? Listen, he pay rice. Why does it have to be Groigris? And if it's apples? And if it's oranges, if it's grapes, why did it have to be groigrois? Hello, you know, Rabbi Shaya, hell, must be, we're not just talking about any groigrois. Shma mina bedrusais, we're talking about groigrois that were drusais, it's a big cake. And actually, there's a very important chiddush over here, because the town of the Mishnah is Reb Nechemya, and it's only because it's groigrois that are drusais, that it's mutter to be metaltal the sakin, the tzorich tashmasham yuchadloi, and then the mail on the letter cut open the chavis as well. But otherwise, it wouldn't be okay. That's why Rabbi Shaya felt that even though this is a first, that the mitan of the Mishnah should be not Reb Shimon who's less like Mukta, not Reb Yehuda who's this like Mukta, but Reb Nechemya. But he felt, even though it's certainly dachuk, but the Mishnah is very mashma that way. So the Gemara is going to bring a very similar discussion. May inyan le inyan ba is inyan. Tanya chalder, we learned to one brayso chaysalois shel groigrois v'shel tamarim. If somebody has a basket, the basket has a cover on top of it, and the cover was tied with a rope. So essentially, you have to untie the rope in order to remove the cover, to get into the basket and take out the groigrois and the tamarim that are inside. So one brisa says, there's three ways you can go about it. Mater, you can untie the rope. Umafkia, you can unravel the rope. V'chaytech, you can cut the rope. Tiny look, we learned in another brisa, mater, you can untie it. Avaloi mafkia, avaloi chaytech, but you can't cut the rope. One brice is going according to Rabbanon, the other brice is going according to Nechemya. According to the Rabbanon, you can even cut the rope. What would be the issue to cut it? You're being mekalkel the rope, so there's no malacha problem, but there's a muktzah problem. Am I allowed to carry a knife to cut a rope? According to Rabbanon, why not? A knife is a davish malachta laheter. What should be the issur? The brisa that says you can't do it is going according to Nechemya. Rav Nechemya holds ein kli nittel elo letzorech tashmish hamayuchadloi. The only time I'm allowed to carry even a davish malachta laheter is if I'm carrying it for the thing that this is meant to be used for. A knife is not meant to cut a rope. And be that it's not meant to cut a rope, since for that reason, it's not going to be okay. Where is this Rav Nechemya? We just mentioned Rav Nechemya twice. We said our Mishnah is Rav Nechemya. We said one of those two braises are Rav Nechemya. So we're familiar with Rav Nechemya because we're already holding Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Vav. But the Gemara over here says, who is this Rav Nechemya? The Tanya Rav Nechemya. Oimer afilu tarvod, even a spoon or a scoop. Afilu talis.
Vafilu sakin, eini tolin, elo letzorech, tash, misha, bo, my name is Rav Sheshes. The Chachamim asked Rav Sheshes a question. Mau, le mivros, chaviso, beburti, abishabata. What if somebody has a chavis? There's wine inside the chavis. He wants to get the wine out of the chavis, and he wants to use a spear to make a hole in the wool of the chavis so that the wine will be able to come out. Is that something that he can do, or is that something that he cannot do? So what were the two tzadim? A little bit shver. L'pischa kamechavim va'aser. Do we assume that the reason he's doing it this way is because he feels that this is a good Pesach? This is a nice way to create a good long-term opening for this chavis? So if that's the case, he's making a Pesach. It's Misaki Mana. He's perfecting. He's making the chavis a little bit better. So based on that, it would be Yasser. Aiduma, or perhaps, La'ayin Yafa Kamen Chavin the Shari. Or do we assume that this is not really a Pesach that he's very into? Because if he wanted to perfect the Pesach, he maybe would have done it in another way. So what's his kivun here? His kivun is La'ayin Yafa. He has guests, and he wants to show his guests a break guide. He says, Kol Dichvin Yesi V'Yechel, or Yesi V'Yishta. He says, this is Vashtiya Kadas Einoines. So he takes a spear, and he very dramatically punctures his big hole on the side of the... But meaning his kavan is not so much the Pesach. If his kavan is not to make a Pesach, then it could be this is something that's going to be mutter. Amalez Rav Sheshes said, L'pischa kamechavim v'as. No, this doesn't sound good. This is awesome. Meis fei fei to Gemara Kasher. Rav Shem Gamliel Leimer from the Brice of the Gemara brought earlier. Maybe Adam Chavet Shal Yayin Umatis Reisha B'Sayif. A person's allowed to take a Chavet Shal Yayin and he's allowed to behead the Chavis. How? With a saif, literally with a sword. So this was the halacha Rav Shem Gamliel said that mirrored the halacha that the Mishnah said. But whereas the Mishnah was talking about a chavis that had gregris inside, Rav Shimon Gamliel was talking about a chavis that had yayin. But it's the same difference. You're allowed to destroy, it's makalkal, the way Rashi explained it in the Mishnah. This chavis, in the Mishnah, you're taking out the gregris, and Rav Shimon Gamliel's case, you're taking out the wine. So what's the kasha? Why is it mutter to do that? The Gemara assumes, if your kavana is to make a Pesach, then it would be aser. Elamai, because your kavana is la'ayin yafa. Again, a little bit of a shver gemara. So if your kavana is la'ayin yafa over here, why don't we assume that when the person makes a hole with a spear on the side of the chavis, that dear to his kavana was to do la'ayin yafa? So the gemara says the two cases are a little bit different. Hasam over there, vade la'ayin yafa kamechavin. Over there, where the person makes destroys the tap, certainly his kavanah was to do a lion yafa. And it's for that reason which Shem Gamliel said it's going to be mutter. Hach over here, where the person took a spear and he made a hole on the side of the barrel, in Isa, the lion yafa kamechavin, liftuchi miftach. You know, this person was being dramatic. He made a statement. He takes a spear out in the middle of the meal, makes a side, chevra, drink as much as you want. I hear. But if he was thinking, and if he was being practical, really, it would have been simpler to just remove the top of the chavis. It would actually be more ba'ayin yafa. It'd be easier to drink, you know, as much as you want to drink. So the Gemara says, the reason Rav Sheshes held it was aser, because although maybe the optics seem a little ayin yafa dig, but if you think about it for a second, it's actually not so much ba'ayin yafa, because it would have been more ba'ayin yafa to just remove the cover. So if a person takes a sword out and he knocks off the top, yeah, clearly he's not trying to make a proper Pesach. What he's doing is trying to show that he's doing this ayin yafa. His kavanah is not makav apatish, and if that's the case, it's not considered makav apatish. However, in the case we put the spear on the side, there we assume that his kavanah was to make a Pesach, because if his kavanah was ayin yafa, actually there would have been more practical ways to go about it. The Mishnah said ein noikvin magufa. So again, these are very technical halachas that are hard to fully appreciate without actually being there. But either way, the Mishnah says, "Ein noikvin magufa shel chavis divrei Rabbi Yehuda." Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to make a hole in the cover of a barrel. The Chachamim atir, Chachamim say it's mutter. And then the Mishnah said, "V'lo yikven mitzida." Everybody agrees that you're not allowed to make a hole on the sides. What does this all mean? Amar Rav Huna said, "Machlokes l'malo." The machlokes is where you made the hole in the cover, but on the top of the cover. Avam minatzad. If you did it on the side, divrei Hakol aser. Everyone is going to hold that it's going to be aser. The reason is that if you make it le milo, there is a svara that it's shaloi kederech. Nobody really makes a Pesach that way. So if nobody makes a hole in the top of a cover, so there is a shita in the Mishnah. There you have the Chachamim shita. The Chachamim says it's going to be mutter because that's not a regular Pesach. It's not a makav patish. So therefore, it's going to be okay. But if you did it on the side, everyone holds that's a normal way of doing it. It's going to be aser. V'ahenu diktani said Rav Huna. That's what the Mishnah meant when it said lo yikvenu mitzido, that everybody holds you're not allowed to make the hole on the side. What does it mean, everybody? We're talking about making the hole on the side of the cover. Whereas there's a machlokes Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah
about making it on top, yeah, that's only on the top. If the whole lid is a chachamim that says it's going to be mutter. But on the side, everybody is going to agree it's awesome. This is Rav Huna Shitra. Rav Chizah says, no. Machlokes menatza. Machlokes is we did it on the side. Aval al gabod divrei hakol mutter. If you do it on top, everybody holds that it's going to be a mutter. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to make the hole on the side, and everybody holds you're not allowed to make the hole on the side. The way Rav Chizah is explaining the machlokes in the Mishnah, no, the machlokes is betzida. So you have to say hasam beguf of the chavis. Now that's talking about where you made it on the side of the chavis itself. If you made it on the side of the chavis itself, everyone holds it's going to be aser. As it relates to the side of the megufa, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Tanu Rabbanan, ein noikvin nekev chadosh b'shabbos. You're not allowed to make a nekev, a hole in a keli on Shabbos. Then balahayse, but let's say you have a keli that already has a hole in it, and you just want to expand the hole a little bit. Maisif, the halach is that you're allowed to do. Some say, hey, maisif, and you're not even allowed to expand. Shavin, everybody agrees, shenoikvin nekev yoshon l'katchila. That if somebody has a keli that had a hole in it, you plug the hole, and now you're opening up a nekev yashan, meaning where there was once upon a time a hole, you're recreating a hole. Everybody holds that that's something that you're allowed to do. Look, the Gemara is going to explain everything. So again, the Braisa began with a machloikis. Ein noik v'nekev chadash b'shabbos. V'mbala hoisef maisef. So you're not going to make a hole in a keli. If you want to expand on an existing hole, that's mutter. V'yeshayim, some say, ey maisifin, that's not okay. Zok the Gemara, v'tana kama, maisham in nekev chadosh deloy. Why is it that you're not allowed to make a nekev chadosh? V'kom mesakim pischa. Presumably because you're making an opening. It's mesakim mana, it's makim bepatish, it's not okay. Ay sufei nami, kom mesakim pischa. So why is it okay for you to extend the hole? If there's already a hole, why can you make it a little bit bigger? At the end of the day, you're again, you're being mesakamana. Well, you're only mesakamana if you're mechadesh the hole, but if the hole was there already and you just make it a little bit bigger, that's not mesakamana. I'm a rabbi. Rabbi said this follows. Because Tvar Torah really made the rice called Pesach, and he also the hakim zulah itzayin a Pesach. In order for a Pesach to be considered a Pesach in the world of Tikumana, it has to be a door that goes two ways, a two-way street. You can go in and you can go out. And really, from that standpoint, this Pesach that you make in the barrel is not a real Pesach on the biblical level. Because although from the Pesach, you can take things out of the Chavis, but you can't put anything inside the Chavis. So if that's the case, we're not even talking about a Pesach Midrashim. This whole Pesach over here is a Pesach Midrabban. So why did Rabban make the Gzeru? Because they were afraid that the Pesach in the Chavis is a little too similar to a hole inside a chicken coop. It's a little bit too similar. And because they used to make holes in these chicken coops, and those holes were considered holes on the Deiraisa level. That was a Pesach Deiraisa. The reason is, the Ovid Li'iyuli Avira, because it was used for things to come in, fresh air, Ula Fuke Havla, and to make the bad odor of the Tarnagol go out. So it's for that reason the Chachamim said that being that it's similar to Lusha Tarnagol, even though this in and of itself is not a real Pesach, but the Chachamim said it's going to be a problem. Okay, so how does that explain anything? So the issue was only an issue if you created the hole from scratch. But but if you want to go ahead and just be Moisiv on the hole, that's okay. And the reason is because Vadai Belusha Tarnagol Loi Asi Le Asufe. Very wordy. Because no one's ever going to be Moisiv on a Lushal Tarnagoylam Mishum Richasha. People were very sensitive to how big the holes of the Lushal Tarnagoylam were, because they were afraid that Shkatzim V'Ramasim may creep in Shememisim Es HaTarnagoylam, says Rashi, that would kill the Tarnagoylam. So no one was ever Moisif the hole. So being that no one was ever Moisif the hole, because people were careful to make sure the hole was very, very small, so there's no concern. Really, if this was a real Pesach, that you could be nichnas v'yoytzer, that it makes no difference if you're being mechadashid or if you're just being meisif on it. At the end of the day, of course, it would be a problem. But hey, yoys, we're dealing with a Pesach where that's not nichnas v'yoytzer. You could be moitzi from it, but you can't go in. As a result, it's not a real Pesach. If it's not a real Pesach, really midarais, it's not a problem. What is it? It's also midrabanan. What's this? Okay, so now we can limit the iser to what people sometimes did by the Lo Shel Tarnagoylam. Yeah, people made holes in the Lo Shel Tarnagoylam, but people were Maisif on the holes of the Lushal Tarnagoylam. Why not? Because if the hole is too big, it's going to be a problem. V'yeshayman. Now there's a Yeshayman that argued, that said, Maisif. And why? Does he not agree with everything we just said? Doesn't he agree that this is not a real Pasach? It's only Exerim Shom Lushal Tarnagoylam. Lushal Tarnagoylam, they never really expanded the hole. Gemara says, no. The Yeshayman held that sometimes they would expand the hole. Zimnin, the low tick, nay, me ikara. Sometimes is as small as the hole has to be, sometimes it wasn't big enough. Sometimes it was even too small. Therefore, it's a problem. Like the Yeshayimim, that it's not only also to make the hole, it's also even to be moisif on the hole, even though we're not dealing with a hole that's a derisa, dig a hole, so to speak. It doesn't matter. Still, it's going to be a problem. The Mishnah said, everybody agrees. There's no machloikis. That if you had a keli that had a hole in it, you plug the hole, and now you want to make a hole where that hole was. That's something you can do likat chilan Shabbos. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Lo yishanu ela b'makom asur l'shamet. The only time this is true is if the hole that you're opening that had been previously plugged was plugged l'shamer to maintain the aroma of the wine. So you're storing wine in barrels. The wine is going to be stored for a very long time. You don't want a hole inside the barrel. You want to make sure that the taste and the aroma, everything stays preserved. You had a little bit of a hole, and you felt like you had to close the hole, because if you're not going to plug that hole, something's going to go out. That hole, if it then opens, the halacha is that you're allowed to make a neck of yashan l'katchil on Shabbos. Aval l'chazek, if however the hole was a little bit more substantial, and you had to plug this hole not just to maintain the taste and to make sure that this is going to be aged properly, but you had to do it to make sure that the wine doesn't go anywhere, l'chazek, simply to contain the wine, then if you plugged it and you make a hole again, that's going to be a problem. So when we say that you can make a hole in a plugged hole, what kind of plug are we talking about? Was this a plug l'shamer, or was it a plug l'chazek? What's the lumdus? If it was l'shamer, then it's not a real plug. If that's the case, when you then go ahead and make another hole, we don't look at you as creating a hole. We look at you as just making a hole where there already was a hole. Either hole was plugged, but it was only l'shamer. That's not a real plug. And as a result, what you're doing now is not really being mechadesh a hole. If, however, when you plug the hole, you plugged it l'chazek, that's a more substantial plug. If it's a more substantial plug, that means you really repaired the old hole. So now when you make what you're calling a neck of yashan, yes, in semantics, it's a neck of yashan, but you want to know what it really is? It's a new hole. It's a neck of chadosh. So Mar says, hechadami l'shamer, hechadami l'chazek. What's an example of l'shamer or l'chazek? Is there a way to determine, or when was it l'shamer? When was it l'chazek? Amar avchizel, l'mayel, l'mayel, l'shamer. If the hole was on top of where the wine is, so the wine goes up to a certain point in the barrel, if the hole was above that, yeah, then when you plug it, you're not plugging it l'chazek, because the wine is not going out. What you're doing must be as l'shamer. So that's an example of a neck of yashan that you'd be allowed to make on Shabbos. L'mantam in ayayin. If, however, the hole was beneath the area, meaning it's somehow, it's parallel to where the wine is, so then already it's going to be a problem. Zeh l'chazik. Rabba amar. Rabba said, not Rava, the Bach changes the gears to Rabba. L'mantam in ayayin. Nami zeh l'shamer. Even if it's l'mantam in ayayin, it could still be considered l'shamer. Hechadam in l'chazik. What's an example? L'chazik. If it's all the way on the bottom. So if it's all the way on the bottom, only then is it considered a hole that's l'chazik, and only then is there a problem. Meaning, then we say that if you make a hole in it, it's an ish. Omele, Abaye, the Rava, Abaye told, or according to the Bach's Gersa, Rava, Tanya, the Messiah, Eloch, I have a raya to you from a Braisa, Bayis, Sasum. If somebody has a house, and there was an entrance to the house, and the entrance was closed off. The Eloch is Yeshloi Arba Amos. He has Arba Amos. The context is a Gemara Mesachtis Bava Basra. You have Yorshin that are dividing a Chatzar. So the halacha is that they divide it equally. However, there's a halacha that says that if you have, one brother has a bias that opens up into this chatzah that has one pesach, and another brother has a bias that opens up into this chatzah that has two pesachim. The one that has more entrances is going to end up getting more. And the reason is because you get a certain amount for every entrance that you have. So the question is, what if you had a bias, but the bias was closed up? So the question is, do you get your arba amos? That's the amount that you get for every pesach that you have. Or do you not get your arba amos? So the bias says you get it. Bias sasum, yeshlei arba amos. Paras has petzimov, if you remove the frame of the door, eloi dalan amos, then you don't get your dalan amos anymore. Similar halacha, bias sasum, in metamik kol svivov, the context over there is a mace was inside a house. Now the halacha is a kever of a mace, of course, is matama. Not only is it matama, but it's matama the surrounding area. The dalan amos around it also becomes tame. So if you see and encounter a grave in an open field, You don't have to make direct contact. This is midrabbanan, but the surrounding area is considered a problem. If, however, you have a kever inside a house, so then you don't have the salach of svivav. You don't have the salach of daladamas. So the price is the same thing. What if you have a bias that's closed off? It's sasun. Ain't a metama called svivav. It's not metama called svivav because we look at it as a bias. Paris as pitzimav. If, however, you remove the doorpost, you remove the frame, then already metama called svivav. Then the halach is that it's going to be metama called svivav. What do you see from here? You see from here that a bias sasum is still considered a bias. So what's up to with our sugya? A nekev sasum is also still considered a nekev. Rabbi took a very extreme approach. Rabbi said that almost every single nekev is going to be considered a nekev, that even if it was plugged, you can reopen it because it's a nekev yashan, unless it's mamish on the bottom. But other than it being on the bottom, even though the nekev was plugged, it doesn't matter. A nekev that's plugged is still viewed as a nekev. So if you want to go ahead and recreate the hole, you're not doing anything wrong on Shabbos. Because at the end of the day, all you're doing is placing a nekev where there already was a nekev. So said Abaya, Rabba, I have a riot to Arich. I have a riot to you. Because you see, the bias that's awesome is still treated as a bias. You get your dalanamis in the event that there's a chalukah. You get the halachas of tumah. We look at it as a kever that's inside a house in terms of it being metamikol saviva. Either way, this was the raya to abaya gufsa, spigot. Rav Asa, Rav says Asir, Vishmul Shari, Shmul said it's mutter. So the Gemara is going to explain. But basically, what happens over here is you have a chavis, there's wine inside the chavis, and you're trying to get the wine out of the chavis. So instead of, in this case, making a hole and pouring the wine out, you're going to take your gufsa, your little straw, you're going to stick it in, and that's the way you're going to get the wine out. So Rav said there's a problem to get involved with this on Shabbos. Shmul said it's mutter. So the Gemara explains, Mechatech, if what you want to do is you want to take a straw, so to speak, cut it up, fit it to the hole that's already inside the chavis to make sure it stems 100%. Everybody holds his asa. There's no one in the world that's going to tell you that's something that you're allowed to do. It's mechatech. It's one of lametas malachas. Ahaduri, if you have a hole inside a chavis, you already have this kufsa. You just want to stick it in. It's mutter. What are you doing? It's not misakin mana either. Right? It's like putting a straw inside a cup. That's not misakin mana. So that wouldn't be a big deal. Keep pligi. What was the machloikis? The chaticha. Where you already cut this gufsa. But v'loi misakin. You never sized it. You never fit it to the hole. So the question over here is, can I put it in or can I not put it in? Rav said no. Shmuel said yeah. Man, the asa Rav that said it's also because you need the ma'asin l'michta chatchilo. He's afraid that if we're going to allow you to do this, what's going to happen if when you try to fit it into the chavis, you're going to see it doesn't really fit. You may make a new one. So as a result, there's a gzeira. Man, the Shari, the man, the one that said it's mutter. Shmuel said, Leigos Rinan, we're not worried about this gzeira. So, the Gemara Ketanoi, I think it's a machloikis tandem. In chaitchen, shvayferis, be yontiv. You're not allowed to cut a tube on yontiv. Ezra chleim, shabbis, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Nafla, let's say you had a tube that was inside a chavis. Machzir, noise of a Shabbos. You're allowed to put it back inside the chavis on Shabbos. Ezra chleim, yontiv, sir, you're allowed to do it on yontiv. Rabbi Yoshia said, no, it's going to be mutter. So again, you're not allowed to cut a shveferis on yontif. That's mechatech. Certainly you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. If you already have the shveferis, it was inside the chavis, then it fell out of the chavis, you're allowed to put it back on Shabbos, and you're certainly allowed to put it back on yontif. So the point is, you're not allowed to cut it on Shabbos and yontif. You're allowed to put it back in on Shabbos and yontif. Rabbi Yoshua was mekel. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshua, what's he going back on? Ilei my reisha. Is he going back on the reisha? The reisha said, you're not allowed to fashion this shveferis on Shabbos and yontif. Rabbi Yeshua said, you are allowed to fight the Gemara, come a sakin mana. How could Rabbi Yoshua allow you to do it? There's no way. It sounds like a malacha deraisa. How would he allow you to do it? Certainly not on Shabbos. El ha-seifa. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua was going back on the seifa. What did the seifa say? That if you have the shveferis, it fell out of the chavis, you want to put it back in, that's something you're allowed to do. Rabbi Yoshua says, it's something you're allowed to do. Freit Gemara, time to come in, I'm in Mishuk HaShari. That means they're saying the same thing. Rabbi Yoshua is matter something that the Tanakama was already matter. So we have a problem. We have a machloikis over here between Rabbi Yoshia and the Tanakama, and we have no idea what the machloikis is. So what do we have to do? So we have to come up with something. We have no choice. We have to use our imagination. Hello, the Gemara says, you know what the machloikis maybe is? Maybe it's the machloikis Rav and Shmuel. The chaticha v'loi mesaknik beinayu. It's nogei. We had a shveferis that you already caught, but you never really made sure 100% that it fits to this chavis. Mar sovar, the Tanakama said, Gazrinan, that's going to be awesome. Mar sovar, loi Gazrinan. Where Rabbi Yoshia said it's mutter, when he meant to say it was loy gazrina, and it's going to be okay. So the machloik is Rav and Shmuel, even though it's not mafurish, but as a machloik is Tanakam Rabbi Yoshia. Dorish Rav Sheisha, Breder Rav Idi, Mishmeder Rav Yoichanan, Halacha Rabbi Yoshia, Lekulavim Hoysa.
Nekuva. The Mishnah said that if someone has a chavis, the chavis has a hole in it, and you want to now plug the hole. So, lo yiten olea shaifa, don't use wax, mipnei shehu mimareach. So, the Gemara Mishcha, what about using oil? So Rashi says this is thick oil that on some level mirrors wax. So just like you can use wax to plug the hole, you can use thick oil as well. Rav Asar, Shmuel Shabbi. Rav said it's not okay. Shmuel said it's mutmanda. Asad Mandaman said it's not okay. He goes, Rina Mishim Shaiva. The reason it's not okay is it was a gzera. Rav felt that if you're going to use mishcha, you may end up using wax. And the Shai Mandaman said it's mutmanda. He goes, Rina, you're not going to, I mean, there's nothing wrong really with using oil. The Shaiva is you make a gzera oil up to wax. Do you not make the Xero oil atu wax? Only Rav Shmuel Bar Chanel, Rav Yosef, the Ferish, Amlam, Shmei, the Rav. We remember hearing from you that Mishcha Shari, Rav Yosef, was sick at one point. He wasn't well. And he forgot a lot of his learning. And that's why you find throughout Shatz, there are different times where Amiram had to tell Rav Yosef what he once told them. He didn't remember his own learning. And Amiram would often tell Rav Yosef, you once taught us a little differently. Or you once taught us something that you seem to have forgotten. So this is an example that Rav Shmuel Bar Bar Chana told Rav Yosef, you should know that you once told us that Rav, not like we just said, Rav Asa, but you once told us that Mishcha is Shari. Amar Tavus Rishba. Tavus the Rishba, the hunter, Amar Shmuel said in the name of Shmuel, Hai Tarpa, the Asa, Aser. You're not allowed to use a leaf of a hadas of Sukkah's fame to use as a spigot to get wine out of a barrel on Shabbos. So Rashi says you're going to take this leaf and you're going to bend it in a way, you're going to make it and put it in so that the wine that you're pouring out of the chavis will be able to pour out down this little slide, which is your asa, something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, my time, but what's the reason? Rav Yemer Midifti Omar Gzeira Mishon Marzev. It's a Gzeira, because if you do this, you may end up making a proper spigot, and that's something that's going to be a problem. Taisus asks, why is this different than the Gufsa and all these, the straw and the Shveiferis, which we said you're allowed to do? Why is this different? Ayin Taisus. Rav Ashi said it gave a different reason why it's asa. Gzeira Shemen Yiktaim. Oh, no, you're going to use a leaf, you may cut off another leaf. So that's an obvious reason why it shouldn't be okay. My bad, what's the nafkimi? I mean, we have two reasons why it would be aser potentially to use this tarfa da asa. Either because it's a gzera, you make a proper spigot. Alternatively, gzera shema yiktiv. So the Gemara says, is there a nafkimi? Yeah, ikiminayu, the katuma manchi. What if you have a lot of these? Meaning, there's no gzera that you're going to go ahead in this situation, may cut up any more leaves because you have so many of them. So if the reason is shema yiktiv, so there's a svara to say that maybe over here you could be makel. If it's mishum Marzev, no, Mishum Marzev, who cares how many of these leaves you have? The concern is not that you're going to cut a leaf. The concern is that you may make a proper Marzev, and this is something that you still have to worry about. So the Gemara is going to digress here at the very end of Vidaf. The reason we're digressing seems to be because we mentioned a few different machloikas in between Rav and Shmuel as it relates to Hilchah Shabbos, where Rav said, not okay, and Shmuel said, yeah, okay. So we conclude with another machlekes Rav and Shmuel, where Rav was Aser and Shmuel was Shari. Zokti Gemara, Be Sadya. If somebody has a felt piece of fabric, he wants to wear it as a talis and go outside into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. Can he do that or can he not do that? What's the shaila? Is it a beged? Then it's mutter. You're allowed to wear clothing on Shabbos even in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Is it not a beged? Then it's aser, because then you carry. So Rav Asar v'Shmuel Shari. Zokti Yomar, Birakin, if this was a very soft felt, the Kulam Elo Pligidosh, everyone says it's mutter. Big caution if it's a harder fabric, nobody wears it as clothing. He pligi mitzi this in between stage. Manda asar mechzi kamasi. Manda says it's asar because it's like he's carrying. Manda shari like mechzi kamasi. So the gemara b'hadir rav beferish itmar el mechol itmar. Even though we just said that Rav holds asar, but really lav beferish itmar el mechol itmar. Rav never really said it, but it was inferred from a ma'isa shahaya kachoya with Rav. And as we'll see, the gemara is going to say it was inferred incorrectly because in fact that's not really what Rav has. What does this all mean? Talk to Gemara. The Rav Iklahu Asra. Rav was once in a certain shtot. And he came to give a shir. And there were so many people that came to listen to Rav's shir that it was standing room only. And then there was no room to stand either. And it was a problem. So Rav said, you know what? I'm going to walk out. I'm going to leave the room. Let the Talmida be in the room. And I'm going to walk out. And the Gemara said, Nafik Yosef the Carmelis. He sat down in a Carmelis.
Now, to sit down on the floor in the Carmelis is nishkishmak. So they were machabed the grosser Rebbe. So Isolei Beisadio, they brought this felt beged into the Carmelis. Probably they couldn't carry it into the Carmelis. So what he did was, one of the Talmidim put it on. He wore it. He assumed that this was something that you're allowed to do. So he put it on as a beged, and he brought it outside, and then he put it underneath Rav. And the Gemara says, Lo Yosef. He didn't want to sit on it. He didn't want to sit on this sadio. So the Gemara says, because of this story, that people assume that Rav holds that it's aser to wear a beis sadio, this in-between stage on Shabbos. Well, what was the assumption that Rav holds it's aser? And where was the mistake? Man the Chaz, the ones that saw the Savar, Mishun the beis sadio aser, that the reason Rav refused to sit on this beis sadio is because it's aser to carry the beis sadya in that fashion. And if it's us to carry the beis sadya in that fashion, so if that's the case, the Talmud that carried it outside for Rav, he was being mechabed as Rebbe, but at the same time, he was violating Chil Shabbos. So if he was violating Chil Shabbos, Rav didn't want to have anah from Chil Shabbos. So that's why he didn't want to sit in it. So the Olam said, oh, you see from here that Rav holds it's aser, because otherwise, why wouldn't you sit on it? So this is where this Mesoira came about, that Rav holds that beis sadya. Again, these examples, you know, that we always learn, they seem so foreign, like, does what's the practical ramification? But once upon a time, these were real life issues that halacha l'maisa shaylas that people used to call rabbanim and they used to ask. This was practical. You see, a maisa shaya kachaya, where it happened. So everybody took out of this story, it was a maisa rav. And everyone assumed that, oh, you see, for me, the Rav holds it's not okay. But the Gemara says, Veloyi, that's not really the reason. The Rav, Achruze, Machruz, Beishad, Yishar. Rav said Beishad, Yishar, Mutter. This is not the reason Rav had a problem with it. So why didn't Rav want to sit on the Beishad, Mishum Kovet, Rabbi Seinu, Yoshev Aleihem? It's because he gave Kovet to Rabbi Seinu. Man, you know, who was Rabbi Seinu? Who were Rav's Rebbe's? So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana, Rav Asi. So Rashi says, really, Rav Kahana, Rav Asi were Rav's Talmidim. Amrav Kahan, Amrav. They weren't his Rabbeim, they were his Talmidim, but they were Talmidei Chaverim. They were on some level, on the same level. But either way, it was a Mishum Kovid Rabbi Seinu, that Rav didn't want to sit on it, but really, it had nothing to do with this halacha. I'll tell you one ha'ara I saw in the Sha'ar Mitzvah Halacha from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Braun. He says, the one thing you see in this Gemara, right, we know that a person is not allowed to benefit from Maisa Shabbos. Right, this is Hilcha Shabbos 101. That if someone's Mechal Shabbos, whether it's Bemezid or whether it's Beshoigig, so the halacha is that you're not allowed to benefit from the Maisa Shabbos. And really, this Gemara is exhibit A for this, because the Gemara assumed that Rav held Beisadia is something that you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos. Why? It's considered carrying. What was the proof to that? Because Rav refused to sit on this Beisadia that one of the Talmidim wore, quote unquote, or carried out him into a carmel. So what do you see from here? So you see from here that this is something that you're not allowed to do. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman Braun asked the Bambakasha, a tzorich iyun, on a chiddush that the Chayyadim brings in Hilchas Shabbos, in Simen Shin Yud Ches. So Simen Shin Yud Ches is actually Hilchas Bishul. But in Hilchas Bishul, the first halach in Hilchas Bishul is, what happens if somebody cooks on Shabbos? Whether it's Bemezit, whether it's Beshoigig. See, you have all these halachas that if somebody does Maisa Shabbos on Shabbos, what exactly ramifications are going to be? Says the Bir Halacha, quoting the Chayi Adam, that the only time there's a halacha that says that you're not allowed to benefit from Maisa Shabbos, Dafka Bedover Shenasa Maisa Beguf HaDover. It's only if the Maisa that was done was in the Guf HaDover. Shenashtana Mekemoy Shahaya. Where you actually changed something, you altered something. Kemavashu L'Keyoytze Bezeh. Such as the Malacha Bishol. Aval HaMoytze Mishos L'Shos. Shleinashtana HaDover. Where you didn't really do anything. So there the halacha is you don't have all these chumras. So what is the halacha? If you do a malacha b'shoigig, you can't be nana from it l'chadchila. If you do a b'mezid, so there the chayyadim says a shtichal chumra. But all these halachas are benefiting from Maisa Shabbos do not apply to the malacha of Aitzah. Why not? Because when you do Aitzah, you're not changing anything. Nothing's happening. It's what we know, a shtichal, as Haitzah is malacha gerua. It's about, you didn't really do anything. You just moved it from point A to point B. That's all it was. And a chavsan afkamina in simin shin yud ches, if cotton aleph, in these halachas, that if you do a maisa Shabbos on Shabbos, b'shoyi give me these halachas are not going to apply. Bottom line, the chayyadim said, a mefurish halacha, that if somebody carries something on Shabbos, b'shoyi, this can happen. If somebody carries something b'shabbos, on shoyi, you carry it from point A to point B. Now it's on point B. Can I be nana from it? So if you did it b'mezid, no. But if you did it b'shoigi, yeah. You're allowed to be nana from it l'katchilo. You have nothing to worry about. It's the chiddush of the chayyadim. It's brought down by the Bir Halacha. Freit Rav Shlomo Zalman Braun. It's a pella. If that's the case, how do you understand this Gemara? The Gemara thought that Rav holds Beisadia something you're not allowed to carry. Why? Because they brought the Beisadia out to Rav and to a Carmelis. Somebody wore it and Rav refused to sit on it.
So what do you see from there? Oh, must be Rab didn't want to sit on it because he held that someone just violated a malacha and he didn't want to be nana from it. Problem is, this malacha was violated b'shoigig. So if this malacha was violated b'shoigig, then what's the problem? This is haitza b'shoigig. Nothing happened to it. Nothing was nishtana. So if nothing was nishtana, why would this be an issue? So Freit Reb Shloim Zalman brought tzarich iyun on the chay adam. At first glance, this would seem to be a mafurish gemar. But another takeaway from this very, very short rate bite is that this is another example, another application of where you find that haitza is a malacha geruah. Again, the svar of the chay adam may not be exclusive to haitza, but the idea that because when you carry something from point A to point B, you're not actually doing something to the chayfetz, you're just moving it, but the chayfetz itself is loy nishtana mikamoy shehi, and being that nothing is really changing, so it's for that reason this malacha is treated more leniently. Taisus speaks out throughout Shas, right in the beginning of the Masechta, several times that haitza is different than all the other malachas. It's a malacha geruah. It's an inferior malacha, and there's nafkaminas lalacha. We mentioned the chiddush of Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan Spector, the Kovner Rav and the Bar Yitzchak, that said that even though chatzis shir is asam and atayra, but we find Rabbi Kivegris Kasha that if somebody's metalto pachas midal and ames on Shabbos, there's no chatzis shir asam and atayra. Why? Said Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, because it's a malacha geruah, and by malacha geruah you don't say chatzis shir asam and atayra. Chatzis shir is by a real bona fide malacha, real is a tayra. A malacha geruah, you don't have a halacha. You don't have a halacha of chatzishir. We mentioned the Pnei Yeshua's chiddush at one point at length, at the beginning of Perek Bameh Behema Yoitza, that even though there's a halacha of Shvisas Behema, I'm not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, my animals are not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos either. But he wanted to say a chiddush, it could be an animal's allowed to do Aitza on Shabbos. There's no Isser Deiraisa, no Isser Asay. Why? Because Aitza is a malacha geruah. Who said that the halacha of Shvisas Behema applies even to a malacha geruah? Here's another chiddush, that as it relates to someone who carried something on Shabbos, for sure, b'shoigig, it would be mutter to benefit it from it l'chatchila. It's the chiddush of the chayyadam. It's brought down in the Bir Halacha in the beginning of Simin Shin Yud Ches. But as the daf that we just learned now is Tisha B'Av's daf, so I thought that rather than get into some of the intense lumdis and halacha l'maisa of this daf, opening wrappers and soda cans, which is more halachic in nature, maybe just to go back to the end of this morning's daf, the end of daf kuf mem hey, and talk a bit about the Divrei Agada. So the Gemara had told a story. The Gemara said that Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Asi, and Rav Yochanan were all sitting together. Rav Yochanan was the Rebbe, Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Asi were the Talmidim. Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Asi are talking, and Rav Yochanan was falling asleep. And they started having a sidebar conversation. The Rebbe was misnam name, so they started discussing a few things. And they mention interesting things. Number one, why are the birds in Bavel, the chickens, why are they so much fatter than the ones in Eretz Yisrael? Why is Yontif more geschmack in Bavel? Maybe Yontif Sheni Shalgalias. Why did Talmid Chacham in Bavel, why do they dress a certain way, a little bit more mechubad, maybe than the Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael? And finally, Mipnei Ma'u Uvdei Kechavim Mezuhamin. And they suggested answers for all of these things. As they were talking, Rabbi Yochanan woke up. And Rabbi Yochanan turned to his Talmidim and he says, didn't I train you? Didn't I teach you that there's an idea when it comes to learning Torah, Emor L'Chachma Chosiyat, if you know the answer as clearly as you know the fact that your sister an erva, then you should say it. But if not, don't say. So why are you stop saying svaralach? I heard what you said. I heard everything that you said. It's not true. Nothing you said is emes. So he said, okay, Rabbi, so if what we said is wrong, why don't you tell us what the emes is? And they mentioned the four questions, and methodically Rabbi Yechon went on to explain all four. The last question is that why is it that the Ivdei Kechavim HaMezuamin, they seem to be somewhat impure. There's a certain reinkeit that a Yid has that an Eini Yehudi doesn't have. And this was one of the questions. So Rabbi Yochanan told him, the reason is, Shaloi Amdu al Har Sinai. The reason is because they didn't stand on Har Sinai. What does that have to do with Har Sinai? Shoshe ba Nachash al Chavo. Because when Nachash was Boyal Chavo, Hitl ba Zuama. So there was Zuama, there was Tumah that entered the Guf, the body of Chavo. Yisrael Shomdu al Har Sinai, the Yidden who stood at Har Sinai, Paska Zuamasam. They lost that Zuama when they were Makabal the Torah. But Oivde Kechavim Shalayamdu al Har Sinai, the other Kechavim that didn't stand on Har Sinai, Loi Paska Zuamasam. They never lost the Zuama. And because they never lost the Zuama, so that's where the Zuama comes from. This is the Zuama that's related to the fact that the Nachash was Baal Chava. So Rav Acha Breda Rava asked Rav Ashi, so what about Gerim? Gerim don't seem to have the Zuama. The Gerim, did they stand at Har Sinai? Why don't they have the Zuama? So Rav Ashi told Rav Acha Breda Rava, Afagaf the Inulai Hava, even though the Gerim themselves weren't at Har Sinai, but Mazlayu Hava, their Mazel, whatever that means, was at Har Sinai. And because the Mazel was Har Sinai, so they also have this idea of Pascha Zua Masim. Says the Gemara, that this Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan was a pligid of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. It's at odds with something that Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said. Om Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Ad Shloisha Doiris Le Pascha Zua Ma Meyavi Seino. That, no, the Zua Ma existed, but it went away on its own. And in fact, it took up 3 Doiris for it to go away. Meaning, Avraham Hoylid Es Yishmol, Terach had Zua Ma. He was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He had Zuama in him. He gave birth to Avram. There was still Zuama. Avram had to give birth to Yishmael, and the Zuama somehow went to Yishmael. He also had a son Yitzchak that had a little bit of Zuama, and Yitzchak was Hoyled as Esav. It was only by the time Yaakov came, by the fourth generation, Hoyled Yud Beis Shvatim Shloyah Yibahem Shom Doifi. So you see, the Zuama was already away before Maimon Har Sinai. In fact, the Zuama that existed, or at the very least that Terach had, so Avram had a little bit, and then Yitzchak had a little bit, and then even Yaakov had a little bit. By the time it came to Yaakov's children, it came to Yaakov, Hoylo Yud Beis Shvatim. At that point, there was no Zuama at all. There's actually 2 very interesting tshuvas. We went through this many years ago. We did a raid bite on this. But there's 2 tshuvas, one from the Noida Yehuda and another one from the Chassam Sofer, where they were asked questions about Shidduchim. So like people ask a Rebbe a question about a Shidduch, so Gefeltich Yos, so Gefeltich Nisht, with the names and the Kvitloch. So these were Shailas that were sent, one to the Noida Yehuda and one to the Chassam Sofer, and they both invoked a principle that really comes from this Gemara. The Shaila that was sent to the Noida Yehuda, it's actually a very long tshuva. It's in Yoredeya Kama. It's Simen Samach Tes. The question was where there was a chassan and a kala, where they had agreed on a shidduch. They did what's known as shidduchim. So it wasn't a real erisin. It wasn't also just like an engagement party with a vart. But they had a shidduchim. That's a contract between them where they had agreed that they were going to get married. And to break a shidduch is not such a pashut thing. Anyways, it turns out that during their quote-unquote engagement, after the shidduch and before the chasana, so the chasin found out, he found out that the kala's zeda is not someone that's an upkehit in a yid. He found out that he's a balavera, and he completely went off the yiddish derech, and he wanted to break the shidduch. And he went to his local rabbi, his local rabbi, and he told him, it's not so posh for you to break the shidduch. So he didn't know what to do, so he sent a shayla to the Noida Yehuda. And he asked the Noida Yehuda, is this enough of a basis for me to go ahead and break the shidduch? Or is it not enough of a basis for me to go ahead and break the shidduch? So it's interesting that the Noida Yehuda wrote a very, very long tshuva. And at the end of the tshuva, Noida Yehuda told him that it's okay. If he wants to break the shidduch, he actually has a right to break the shidduch. The fact that he found out that the kala zeda is nishtois kahalten, that's enough of a reason for him to go ahead and break the shidduch. It was the avi of hakala. Now, one of the mitigating factors why it wasn't such a simple shayla is because it turns out that this person, when he did the shidduch, knew that the zeda was somewhat questionable. It was something that he already knew. In fact, he had heard that he eats nevelos of treifus. He also heard that he was davak bebaskutim. He was bayil aramis. And the question was, he was sof of a kibbutz. It means he knew. It wasn't a mekach tois. This was something that he knew about. So this is something that he knew about. So based on that, the ones that were arguing that he can't break the shidduch, they timed it. What do you mean? You knew what you were getting yourself into. This is not something that comes as a surprise to you. If this was a shidduch that you didn't really like, then you should have done the shidduch in the first place. You agreed to a contract. You did a deal. You have no right to go ahead and back out now. So says the Neid Bidu, I quote, Vani tomeya ki advarim sha'asa koidim. I don't understand that taina. Because although it's true, he found out that this person was a Baal Aveira. But enam yisugam ma'isa sha'asa achakach. It's not on the same level of what it turns out he ended up doing. Let's say he was an oichel nevelos atreifus. Says the Neidu, "Loi bechala kalis yichoshev. The veil is a treifus. That's bechala kalis. She'in kanel a chayvi lavin. All it is a chayvi lavin. K'may she'amru chazal b'mishna yumad apehei on the base. And tshuvas mechaperes al averes kalis. What's averes kalis al esiv alois esay? V'ndovak bebas kuten. See, he was mezana with non-Jewish women. Zeres chashmei noemi. All it is a gzera from the chashmei noam. Avoy dezorah. You have to be the Neidu Behuda to talk this way. Lamed vav on the base. Uma inyan zel chamuris shav chamuris." You have to look at each thing individually. What do you mean he heard that he was doing Averis? Well, which Averis was he doing? He was doing Averis. He was doing Lavin, Xeris Chashminam. You never heard he was Mechal Shabbos. You never heard that he was being over on Chayvei Mises Bezin. So if that's the case, you have no right to go ahead and to say that he knew. No, he was Mechabel Chayvei Lavin. He was Mechabel Xeris Chashminam. That type of Shidduch, if it's Mechutin, is over Chayvei Lavin, he's willing to get involved. But a Chayvei Krisos, a Chayvei Mises Bezin, that's not something that he's necessarily willing to do. And then he gets involved in the whole idea. You know, how far do you have to reckon with Pekam Mishpacha?
So says the Noida Behuda, I'm skipping. Avu Be'uvdi Dido, Noida Masha Amru Chazal B'Shabbos Taf Kuf Mem Vav Amen Aleph. Loi Posko Zuama Me'avu Yiseinu Adimu Doiris. Avrom Yotzu Mimenu Yishmol, Yitzchok Yotzu Mimenu Esav. Hareisha Zuama Shal Terach Gorma Lezera Yitzchok. Dahainu Esav Shal Yopogam B'Maisav. It's unbelievable. Terach had a great grandson Esav. He had a son Avram, who had a son Yitzchok, who had a son Esav. He had a great grandson Esav, and it seems that the Zuama of the Zeda somehow played a role in that. In Cain, Zera Hamishudecha Saloz Gam Cain Yochol Liyos Pogum. But the point is, he says that you see the Chazal was sensitive up to four generations, that there could be a hashpa from the Zuama of the Zeda. So he says, if this is something that bothers this Yid, he says it doesn't have to bother him, but he has a right to allow it to bother him. And just because it's the Kala's grandfather, it's still within that three generation Tkufa that Chazal spoke about. And based on this, this is something that he'd be allowed to break. Either way, that's the first order. The second order is what's the whole context over here? Bon nochash al chava and hitl bazuama. So this is the rest of the story. Everybody knows the story of the Eitz Hadas, where the nochash got chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. But this is a mefurish gemara. It's not even a medrash. It's a gemara. It's a Talmud Bavli. Shabbos kuf mevavam et aleph. That in addition to everything that we know about the story with the Nachash and Chava, there was actually a Bia. Bon Nachash al Chava, v'hitul ba'zuama. Now, obviously, this is something that's a little bit taunt beer in terms of what the pnimius of this Gemara is. Rav Chaim Volozhin in Nefesh Achayin, and this is in Shar Aleph Perik Vav, it's in a Haggah, says that this Gemara is Yisoid HaYisoidos. That this Gemara, Bon Nachash al Chava and Hitul ba'zuama, was a game changer. Everyone knows that Rav Chaim Volozhin, at least, you know, in yeshiva, this is said over. It's margula bepume, the mashkichim. And that is that before Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, there was the Eitz Sahara, but it was the Eitz Sahara mibachotz. After Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, after Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, so the Eitz Sahara went from being mibachotz, and it went mibefnim. It actually entered the guf of Adam. It entered the guf of Chava. Who was the Yetzahara before Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas? It was the Nachash. The Nachash was a living organism. Today, there's no Mitzius of a Nachash. Oh, the Yetzahara said, let me cross the street. No, every person inside of him has a Yetzahara, and every person inside of him has a Yetzahara. So when did that change? When did it go from there being the Nachash, so to speak, to every person having an evil inclination that he wakes up with in the morning, goes to sleep with at night, that's rak rak kolayoy? So said Reb Chaim Volozhin, it happened when Adam HaRishon ate from the Yetzahara. That's when this all happened. And the Reb Chaim Volozhin in the Haggah, if you see it inside, he says it very much at length, and he says that this all happened when the Nachash was Baal Chava. The Nachash took the Zuhama of the Nachash and it entered the Guf of Chava. And that Zuhama would become the Yetzahara Mibathnim. That Zuhama would be a Metzius of Ra, of Tum, of evil, that every person would now have, that would be a part of him. And this is the way it was going to be. From that point forward, this is something that everybody was going to have. And says Reb Chaim Volozhin, it's for that reason that every time a person does anything, even if he does a mitzvah, there's a little bit of Ra inside the mitzvah. And that's the Oimek of Ki Ein Tzadik Baritz Asher Yaseh Tov Lo Yechter, because you have Zuama. Every single person has Zuama. And because every single person has Zuama, so Zuama becomes part of the person. Says the Reb Chaim Volozhin, V'nimshecha inyan kein ad eis matan Torah. It remained this way until matan Torah. But she'oz posko iso azuama mitoich, k'may she'omru chazal Shabbos, kuf mem vavam and aleph. That when the Yidin were mekabel the Torah, what happened was that Zuama that was inside of them, it was Paska Zuama. It left their guf. It went back to their, there would be a Nachash Mibachutz now. It wasn't there. But then the Yidin did the Chet Ego. And Chazal say, what happened? He quotes another Gemara in Shabbos. Peites Amad Aleph, Bas Satan V'Irvev. The Satan came and he made a Taruvais. What's the V'Irvev? What did he confuse? Right? What's the Gemara? The context of the Gemara is that the Yidin thought that Moshe Rabbeinu died. So the Satan came and he made them show, right? It was all because of some hoax that was orchestrated by the Satan. And he confused the Yidin. So Pasha, you're learning, they confused them. Right? That's the Pasha of Shad in the Gemara. But what's the Pnimius? He didn't just confuse them that, oh my gosh, I'm confused. Is Moshe Rabbeinu alive or is Moshe Rabbeinu dead? What's going to be? Who took us out of Mitzrayim? How are we going to survive in the Mizpah? How are we going to get into Eretz Yisrael? Lama Machan Anegel. The confusion was much deeper than that. The confusion was there was Zuhama that re-entered the Yid, and the Zuhama kriched right back in. That was the Ve'irvev. It was the Taruvais between the Kedusha and the Toma, between the Toiv and the Ra. And that's the that was the Tifka. He says that's why a person has to die. That's why a person has to die. Before, had Adam and Rishon not eaten from the Eitz Hadas, no one would have died. It's a pasuk in the Torah. But because Adam and Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, now all of a sudden this is going to be Misa. Now we have no choice. And the reason is, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, because the only way to remove the Zuhama, Misa is the vehicle that removes the Zuhama from the person. Had there been no Zuhama, there'd be no Misa. It's amazing. So had the Yidin not sinned with the Chet HaEgel, it seems like there would have been no Misa. Had Adam and Rishon not eaten from the Eitz Hadas, that's a passing in the Torah, there would have been no Misa. Because what is Misa on a deeper level? Misa is a person as well. At the end of the day, the tachlis is to go back to our Shoyrish. Our tachlis is to go back to where we came from. We're a Chelek Kamima. But you can't do that as long as you have Zuhama. So the idea of Zuhama, the idea of Misa is to remove the Zuhama. And that's why when it's going to be again Pascha Zuhamasam, it's going to be Bila Hamavis LaNetzach. We're not going to need Misa anymore. Because the whole idea of Misa is to remove the Zuhama. And this is something that we're not going to need. So either way, you learn this Gemara. Bon Nachash Al Chava, Hitel Bon Zuhama, Yisrael Shamdol Ar Sinai, Pascha Zuhamasam. This tremendous Pnimius Atari. It's worth seeing it inside. It's long and it reads beautifully. It's tremendous Yisoidos. Nefesh HaChaim Shar Aleph Perek Vav. But just one final Aura, and that is Amalei Rav Achav Reid Rav the Rav Ashi. See, you're telling me that the reason there's a difference between a Yid and an Yehudi is all about Zuhama. Okay, what's the origin of Zuhama? Oh, the Yidin were Mekabel Torah at Har Sinai. Because they were Mekabel Torah at Har Sinai, it was Pascha Zuhamasam. The Eini Yehudim, they weren't Mekabel Torah. So yes, what about the Geirim? Geirim Techiach. A Geir doesn't seem to have Zuhama. And yet, did the Ger stand at Har Sinai? He didn't stand on Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, Omalese, he told him, Afal gaf de inu loy havu, even though the Gerim themselves didn't stand by Har Sinai, but Mazlayu havu, that mazel was there. And because that mazel was there, so it's for that reason, even the Gerim don't have Zuhama. It's Yodua that there was a Ger Tzedek, that lived in Vilna at the time of the Vilna Gaon. And he was known as the Ger Tzedek of Vilna. He was someone that the Vilna Gaon had tremendous erech for. And the Vilna Gaon said unbelievable things about him. This Ger Tzedek had been a Polish nobleman. He was a very important person in the Catholic Church. He converted to Judaism, and the church wasn't happy about what he did, and they decided that they were going to execute him, and they were going to do it publicly. The Ger Tzedek was killed, Hashem Yimkom Damai, on the second day of Shavuos. It was in the year 1749. That's when he was killed. And there were a lot of tzaddikim that on the second day of Shavuos, they would talk about the Ger Tzedek of Vilna. It was a minhag. The Chafetz Chaim used to. This was something that people did. Just to tell you, just a few anecdotes about the Ger Tzedek. The Velt says over that the Vilna Goyen said that when the Ger Tzedek died, Al Kiddush Hashem, his misa was misakin so much that there's a certain klipa that causes a person's hands to be tummy when he wakes up in the morning. So you wake up in the morning, you have to wash the TLC diet, and we've spoken a lot about it from halacha perspectives and Kabbalah perspectives. But the Vilna Goyen said that when the Ger Tzedek was killed, when he was tortured to death, it made a tikkun in the Bria that the klipa that causes a ruach tumah to be shayer on a person's hand when he wakes up in the morning, it got very, very weak. And that's why maybe people are mako when it comes to netilas yadayim next to their bed. Again, this is above my pay grade. But the point is that the klipa of the ruach tumah that shayer on the yadayim, this was something that went away. The Chafetz Chaim used to say over that he had a Kabbalah that the Vilna Goyen, when the Ger Tzedek was locked up and he was on death row and they were planning to kill him. So the Vilna Gaon sent a message to him. He says that if he wants, he can save him. He can use the Shemas HaKdoshim, Al Pi Chachmas HaKabbalah. He said he can save him. So the Vilna Gaon said, if you want, I'll save you. And he made him an offer. And the Ger Tzedek sent back a response to the Vilna Gaon. He told him he doesn't want. He says that the greatest tachlis that a person can accomplish on this world is to die Al Kiddush Hashem. And he feels that this must be his tachlis. And he said he wants to die. And he said, I appreciate the fact that you want to save me, but this is something that he wants. The Velt says that when the Ger Tzedek was being marched through the city of Vilna, he was literally marched through the streets of Vilna, and everybody came out and they were all watching how he was going to be. This was a public execution. How he was going to be killed. So they say that the Ger Tzedek was walking very, very slowly. He was walking slowly. And the Vilna Gaon looked at his window. He looked at his window and he turned in the direction of the Ger Tzedek. And the Ger Tzedek looked at the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon told him that he should walk schnell.
And when he saw the Vilna Gaon motioned him that he should walk fast, so he started walking fast. And the Vilna Gaon explained afterwards, he said he knew exactly what the Ger Tzedek was thinking, and the Ger Tzedek knew exactly what I was trying to tell him. He said the Ger Tzedek had a phenomenal question. He wasn't sure what to do. He said on the one hand, he was about to be Mekayim, the greatest mitzvah. What he believed was his tachlis. He was about to give up his life al Kiddush Hashem. And there's an idea of Ayashkim Avram Baboyker, Mikanches Rizim Akdim Lemitzvahs. Like the Mesillas Yesharim says, that Tzadikin Velapokar Rotz Avram Vayuritzu, right? Everything is, you do it fast. So he said on the one hand, he felt that if this is my tachlis, this is what I'm supposed to do, let me go really, really fast. And let me go run. But he said, Mitzad Sheni wasn't sure. Because at the end of the day, he's running fast to give up his life. You don't have a right to be Ma'abed Atzmei Ladas. You have Chai Yisho. Every minute of your life is precious. And he wasn't sure what to do. So he turned to the Vilna Gaon. Vazal Chtan. Do I go slow or do I go fast? It's amazing. And the Vilna Gaon told him, go schnell. You're doing a mitzvah. You're being Mekayim your tachlis. Vayashkim Avram Babroiker. Zrizim Akdim in the mitzvahs. He said, the right cheshbon is to do the mitzvah of the Zrizos. And he ran, and that's when he started going real. But why are we talking about the Ger Tzedek? Because there's a lot of memories related to Gerim that the Velt says over in the name of the Ger Tzedek. One of the things that the Ger Tzedek said, where did Gerim come from? How does this even happen? How you talking that somebody decides one day that he wants to be Megar, he wants to be Lachsos Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. Where does it come from? So the Ger Tzedek said, you know where it comes from? He says, because when the Eibishter went around to the nations of the world and he said, do you want the Torah? So we know all the nations said no, came to Klal Yisrael, they said Nasa V'Nishma. But the Ger Tzedek says, do you think that there weren't people, a minority of members within each individual Medina that maybe wanted to be Mekabel the Torah? He said, there must have been. There had have been Yechidim that wanted to be Mekabel the Torah. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch is not Mekapeach Schar Kol Beria V'Beria. And those minority, even though they were outvoted, even though at the end of the day it was Nimnu V'Gomru, that Yishmael is not going to be Mekabel the Torah, and Edom is not going to be Mekabel the Torah. But the fact that these people wanted to be Mekabel the Torah, it meant something. It had to mean something. So you know what happened? Many generations later, they would have Enoklach that would come and they would be Megayer. And like this, their Machshava that they had in the beginning of time, to become a Yid, even though it was never Niskayim by they themselves, but it was Niskayim by their Enoklach. This is what the Velt says over in the name of the Ger Tzedek. And I found once that the truth is it's Mefurish in the Mabit. The Mabit says Mefurish. The Mabit says in Shara Yesoides, Perek Nun Aleph, Ve'etzli oi taina b'zeh, ki kishachazar akel yisbarachem atayru l'umois, v'loi rotzu l'kablo, mistama hayu ben kol uma v'uma ma'atem asha hayu roitzim l'kablo. He said, there must have been a minority of people that wanted to accept the Torah. V'loi ola b'yadam, ki hayu b'teilem b'roif, ki ein shum dover muskin b'chol ha'olam, midas kol ha'olam, ki emi rubam. It's very hard to get a unanimous vote. So usually, at the end of the day, you have to rely on a roif. Ki adoyu shol b'nei yadam, mischalfois, v'i You mean to say there was no one member of Umay Soim that didn't want to be Mekabel the Torah? Says the Mabit, V'achash ha'yi b'chol Umay Miyot ha'roitzim ba, V'lai ola b'yadam, Rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shaloi l'kapeach scharo, V'nosan mokoim l'zarem achareyem, She'yitnu alibam, L'kayim machsheves avoysam, Asha ha'yi ritzoinam l'kabel, V'lai ola b'yadam, V'koroi fu, Ki kol ha'meskairim, B'doyreis ha'choyfem, V'ahoyvem, She'mei oysam, She'rotzu ragli avoysam, Lamed bar Sinai, V'lai ola b'yadam, Kiniskar. Unbelievable. This is what he says. So it's Mefurish idea that said over in the name of the Mabit, is Mefurish, is in the name of the Ger Tzedek, is Mefurish in the Mabit. Again, why are we mentioning this? Because the Gemara said that the Yidden were Poska Zuamasam. The Umay Sa'olam, they have Zuama because they never stood at Har Sinai. So what about the Gerim? So the Gemara says the Gerim were really at Har Sinai. Even though they weren't at Har Sinai, their Mazel was Har Sinai. This is Me'inyan, Le'inyan, Ba'isa Inyan. This Yisoy that the Velt says over in the name of the Ger Tzedek, which is Mefurish already in the Mabit, in the Beis Elokim, that there's an idea that all the Gerim are descendants from members of the Umay Sa'olam that wanted really to be Mekabel the Torah.